Pittsburgh.
Shirley MacLaine's amazing acting career has spanned six decades. Now at age 82, you'll find her in small-budget films like The Last Word.
I'm part of the independent filmmaking culture. We don't have any money to make films. It's all about the writing and the characters.
Indie film star Shirley MacLaine on her movie The Last Word this afternoon on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Join us for local news, traffic, and weather starting at 4 p.m. here on Lakeshore Public Radio.
This is 89.1 FM, The Lakeshore, listener-supported public radio in Northwest Indiana. WLPR FM, Lowell.
Welcome to Casual Fridays with me, Jerry Davich, and Karen Walker and Dan Clark. Have you heard of Brothers Keeper Shelter for homeless men across Northwest Indiana? I've visited the cash-strapped, space-crunched, volunteer-starved shelter marking its 31st year in operation this month, and I spoke with its director, a dedicated volunteer also and a grateful client, who will be calling into our show today to explain how you can help the cause. Later in the show, we'll chat with Chris Kosovich from St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church in Maryville about its youth folklore dance group and how you can join in all the fun. Plus, we'll touch on my column today in the Post Tribune on our favorite TV show, This Is Us, and how it offers a shelter from the storms of political climate these days. And, as long promised, I will read an excerpt from my new book, Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana, an exclusive for Lakeshore listeners. All that and more on today's Casual Fridays, folks. Stay tuned after these brief news headlines.
Oh, it's Casual Friday.
Casual Friday, what does that mean?
That means we just dress like we would at home.
But you're not at home.
No, but it is Casual Friday, so.
Yeah, I know, you told me that already. What do you do on Casual Friday?
Well, we just come in, do our work, but we dress casually.
I don't like it.
Well, it's just one day of the week.
I don't give a damn if it's half a day a week. I don't like it.
Look at that verbatim, too.
I know. Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich, me, Karen Walker, and him, Dan Clark. Our show and the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage what matters most.
With the Jerry Davich. I like that. That was funny.
Did I say that?
I don't know. Sounded like it. If you miss any part of today's show, it'll be re-aired at 7 o'clock tonight and soon posted online, lakeshorepublicradio.org. Mm-hmm. You can find all of our previous shows, including ones like today's, that we kind of give Lakeshore listeners a smorgasbord of things to talk about throughout the week. For instance,
have you heard of Brothers Keeper Shelter in Gary for homeless men across Northwest Indiana?
Yeah, for that.
It's housed in a beaten-down building that once sold tires, not soulful redemption.
That's right. I visited the cash-strapped, space-crunched, volunteer-starved shelter, and I spoke with its longtime director, Mary Edwards, and also a dedicated volunteer, Mike McDonald of Chesterton, and also a grateful client, Levi Gildon, who credits the place for saving his life.
But the shelter desperately needs your help, and we'll tell you how on today's show by talking with Levi, Mary, and Mike. Our listeners have always come through for people and organizations in need, and we're hoping that you, can make a difference in this shelter, which marks its 31st year in operation this month.
Yeah, crazy 31 years. Mm-hmm. Later in the show, we'll chat with Chris Kosovich from St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church in Maryville about its youth folklore dance group that will be featured right here on the Lakeshore this weekend, and how you could join in the fun.
And we'll touch on the touching 9/11 memorial in New York City, where Dan Clark recently visited, and Jerry's column today in the Post Tribune about our favorite TV show, This Is Us, and how it offers a shelter from the storms of political climate these days.
Yeah, we love that shelter. Finally, the first shipment also of my new book, Crooked Politics, Northwest Indiana, has finally arrived, and everyone who ordered a signed copy will receive it today or tomorrow. And as promised, I'll read an excerpt from the book. It's an exclusive for Lakeshore listeners.
Plus, we'll give you a sneak peek at Jerry's Monday's column on how turning 100 years old these days isn't as newsworthy as it once was.
Yeah, big deal.
Everyone's doing that.
I know. Whatever. All that and more on today's show. If you want to join in on the discussion or offer a counter view to ours, feel free and call in 769-9577.
Yep. Welcome back to Casual Fridays, folks. First and foremost, let's take you into the Brothers Keeper Homeless Shelter in Gary, Indiana, by talking with an executive director from the place and also the client who lives there and hopefully a volunteer. Mary Edwards, welcome to Casual Fridays.
Hello. How are you, Jerry? How are you, Karen?
Hi.
We're doing fine. Thank you so much for your hospitality when I visited the shelter earlier this week, and thanks for being a part of our show today.
Thank you. And thank you to the listening audience. Because there are many in the audience that have helped us over the years.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
We're coming up on our 31st year anniversary. And we're still here trying to be a beacon in the community to help those that are less fortunate and need our help.
I like how you said beacon in the community, because I just wrote that in my column that's running on Sunday. I wrote,
Yeah,
you're a beacon in the darkness. So thank you, Mary, for that.
That's right.
I think I stole from you, but I'll take it either way. So, Mary, you've been there 29 years, correct?
That's correct. 29 years this month.
This month. So you've seen all the ups and downs, the highs and the lows, you know, homelessness issue that's been taking place in Gary and Northwest Indiana. And I know that the shelter has done good things through the years, but I think the shelter needs our help these days. Do you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tell us how our listeners can help Brothers Keeper.
Well, we are a legitimate business. We're not for profit. And quite often we have to have fundraisers. We have to ask the community to help us in terms of making donations to help us keep the doors open. There's a wide array of services that we offer to the homeless men that come in here, but we also have other support projects where we reach out to the community. We have a soup kitchen. We have a pantry. And our pantry is open 4 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, from 11 a.m. until 3 p.m. And many days we serve, well, we can go up to 50 families per day. And if I have to say it myself, we have some really good food coming. Not just, you know, snack foods or what have you, but real food, you know, that comes from all of the basic food group.
So Mary, the shelter is for men only, and you have roughly 25 beds there, but the food pantry is for families?
It's for the community.
It's for the community.
And we have reached out beyond just the Gary community. We have people coming from all of the surrounding communities that take advantage of our pantry. And we only ask that they bring their pantry card, which we issue. If it's their first time, they will need an ID. And after that, just bring bags and boxes. And most of the time, they need bags and boxes.
I'll
because
bet.
We do this big time.
Mm-hmm. So Mary, the men who come to your shelter, give us a description of some of these men. Who are these people that come to your shelter that need a bed at night or a meal in the morning or help to get another job or a second chance in life? Who are these people?
Well, these are people, Jerry, that can't go anyplace else. They're just down, and many of them are out. And they have problems such as addiction. It could be that they've lost their job. They have family problems. Some of them are mental and emotionally ill. It's just all kinds of things that bring them in. It could even be someone that has done some things and went to the Department of Correction, paid their debts to society. Now they're released, no place to go. Brothers Keeper has been a place that has accepted these people. And this is key because a lot of them, if Brothers Keeper was not here to accept them, they would still be locked up. And I think that's a crime within itself to keep people locked up.
Where would they
have all kinds of problems when they come to us.
Where else would these men go if they didn't have Brothers Keeper, Mary?
Well, they have Brothers Keeper. Over the years, there have been other shelters. However, they came, and now they're gone. Brothers Keeper is still here fighting the good fight, trying to help to those that in need of help to work on themselves and reach the point of self-sufficiency so that they can become independent and hopefully give back.
That's the goal, correct?
Absolutely.
And that's a perfect segue for the next person we want to talk with is somebody who came to the shelter for help, and he is now giving back big time. Levi, is Levi with you?
Yes, he is. He's right here.
All right. We're going to welcome to the show somebody else I met this earlier this week at the shelter. Levi, is Levi Gildon? Is that correct?
Hello, Jerry.
Levi, how you doing?
I'm good. And hello to the listening audience.
All right. Thanks for being a part of the show, and thanks for your hospitality when I visited your home there earlier this week.
You're more than welcome. We were glad to have you.
Tell our listeners and us a little bit about your story of how you first came upon Brothers Keeper, how long ago, and why you washed up at that shore.
Well, first of all, I knew that Brothers, I had been here a couple of times. I stayed a short times on the different occasions, one week, one time, one day, the next time. And then the last time I came, you know, I was going down for the third time, as I said. And I needed help. I was reaching out saying, Lord, don't let me go under. And Brother's Keeper was here to help me, and they extended the hand that shed the milk of human kindness. And I will forever be grateful, you know, because I had nowhere to go at the time. I came in the dead of winter, and Brother's Keeper allowed me in. Mrs. Edwards, like I said, a great individual, you know, a glorious spirit, you know, a top-notch administrator. She's been a great help to me, and I have a lot of respect and admiration for the lady.
Levi, the milk of human kindness, are you a poet?
Excuse me?
Are you a poet? The milk of human kindness, that is beautiful.
Thank you.
That is beautiful. And that's what you experienced when you went to the shelter, huh?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
And that third time when you were praying for the Lord to help you and you were going down for the count, you said, that was several years ago, right?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. And like I said, Brother's Keeper threw me a life preserver. So that was great, you know. And I'm still afloat. I'm yet holding on.
You're holding, and you're still afloat, and you're still at the shelter. Now you're turning things around. You're helping there. You're doing some maintenance there. I know you've painted. You're doing some plumbing. And also, thank you for this. You're also selling the Post Tribune newspapers every morning at headquarters in Gary, which I appreciate.
yes, I am.
Because you're a hawker.
I'm a Post Tribune hawker. I have been doing that for the last, 16 years.
Really?
And I've pretty much worked every corner that we have in the Gary area.
Wow.
Well, I appreciate you doing that.
What corner can we usually find you on selling the post in the morning?
21st and Harrison.
21st and Harrison. Karen, what?
Is that Midtown?
Yes. Yes, it is. And as I told Jerry, I read his column religiously, every time he posts a column.
Aww.
Well, that's very kind of you. But you're also stuck on a street corner with my newspaper. So.
What else are you going to do?
You got to read something. So.
Well, no. I can't read it while I'm out there because people will come along and say, wait a minute now.
Yeah,
what are you doing? You're supposed to be selling the paper.
You're not reading. You're hawking the paper, not reading the paper.
Exactly.
So, Levi, when I talked to you in person, you also expressed the need that Brother's Keeper can use some help. And it's not big-time help. You mentioned something, even if certain churches or organizations can dedicate or donate just $10 a month, that would collectively would really kind of rescue the shelter, correct?
It definitely would. It definitely would because, as I said, you know, this facility needs a lot of help. I mean, financial help, you know. And like I said, we have something like 400 churches in the city of Gary. And if just collectively they got together and gave $1 right there on a continuous monthly basis, that right there would put us pretty much, you know, over the year, would put us pretty much in the black, you know.
How about volunteers? Do you guys have enough volunteers? I spoke with a gentleman there who you know very well, Mike McDonald of Chesterton. He's a 72-year-old U.S. Steel retiree who has dedicated so much the past 20 years to this shelter.
Great friend. I don't know what we would do without him. He's always there. Whenever you call on Mike McDonald, he's always there. And we like to give another shout-out to a friend of his, which is Glenn Ross.
Glenn Ross, yeah, right. I heard that name also. So it's people like this. There's not enough of these people helping out the shelter, all shelters, but this shelter in particular, correct?
Correct. We could always use more help, you know, because like we said, daily, 4 days a week, we put on a food pantry. And I'm pretty much I'm well involved in that. Time I come in off of my hawking route, where I set up the pantry, you know, and get it ready to go at 11 o'clock. So just like I say, natural help, you know, and because NIPSCO doesn't take we get food donation and we're very grateful for that. We get personal hygiene, we get clothes,
right.
But we need greenbacks.
Yeah.
That's what NIPSCO responds to,
and
the utilities respond to. They want their money. They don't care how well fed you are.
Yeah,
they want loot.
You can't pay the bill with apples and oranges and toiletries.
you understand
what
I'm saying?
Yeah,
that's
could.
The American dream, right?
That is right. Exactly that.
Yes.
We totally understand, Levi. And how about the men that come there? How appreciative are they? Are they as appreciative as you are or were?
Well, hopefully they will learn to become appreciative, but. A lot of times, you know, you have some people that just use this as a bed and breakfast. Mm. You know, I mean, all they want to do is have a place to hang their head, come in and have a meal, and be gone all day long.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and this is what, you know, this place needs help. We need the bodies to put in, you know, to give back what you've received from this organization. You know, and if you can't give it monetarily, then you should be giving it physically. And a lot of them don't do that. I mean, they come in, they make it their business to be here at the dinner hour or at the breakfast hour, and they're gone all day long, and then they're here before lockdown time and nighttime.
So it's not only on us, it's on them too. It's on all of us, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I could use a lot of help around here. And it, you know, they're not unkind, they're just hard to find.
Hard to find.
I like that, Levi. I like that a lot. So the shelter is located, I think, 2021 Broadway. Is that correct?
2120
Broadway.
Broadway.
Okay.
Exactly. And so 16407.
All right. So if somebody's interested, they could always pop in. They can call. You could find them online. You can Google it in a heartbeat, Karen. Just Google the phone number if you want to be a part of Brothers Keeper. And also, you could, for more information, you can read my column. It's online already on my Chicago Tribune webpage, and it'll also be in the Post Tribune on Sunday.
Amen to that.
So,
looking forward to reading it.
We appreciate all you do, and really do. And Mary, you too. Thank you very much for being a part of the show.
Here's Mary back again, Jerry.
All right. We're going to get, is Mike on the line?
Mike's ready to go.
Mary, thanks for your time. We're going to get Mike McDonald on the line next. Thank you very much, Mary.
Thanks, Mary.
Thank you.
All right,
take
care.
And Mike, we're listening.
All right. Mike McDonald, are you with us?
Now he is.
Mike, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Mike, how are you doing? This is Mike McDonald of Chesterton.
Yes, it is. And I'd like to say hello to all your coworkers and congratulate you on such a successful newspaper article that you do, and to all your listeners.
Boy, wow. I got to invite you back every week, Mike.
That's really nice.
Come back next Friday, too, be a part of the show. So, Mike, I was touting your virtues of donating your time and volunteering your efforts the past 20 years for Brothers Keeper, and I'm wondering, why are there not more Mike McDonalds out there in this region?
Well, I'll tell you, Jerry, I don't know that answer. But I know that I enjoy helping the homeless, and I enjoy helping the poor, because I grew up that way. I grew up in a shack with no running water, no electricity, but there was a lot of love in that house. And my father, he was a hard worker, but he just didn't make much money. We had chickens and we had a garden. And that's the way we lived until I left home.
And you left home in West Virginia at age 18, correct?
Yes, I left when I was 18 and came to the area. And through the grace of God, I ended up getting a job in one of the steel mills.
But here's the catch, Mike McDonald, is that a lot of tens of thousands of people, men, have come to this region, got a mill job, made good money like you did, had a good life, a solid living, raised a family. You have kids who got college educations, but they don't turn back around again and try to help those who they used to be or those less fortunate. They kind of move on. They get in their gated communities or suited gated communities, and you know, they kind of forget about this stuff. You haven't forgot, and that's the catch, and that's what I noticed when I met you at the homeless shelter, and that's what the shelter is needing, is people to remember who they used to be or where they came from.
Well, you know, Jerry, it's I found out one thing in life, and you feel better and you feel good when you help the needy. And after I retired from U.S. Steel about 2.5 years ago, I continued, even though I retired, I continued to do my service, especially to Brothers Keeper. Even though that the men that come there are looking for a place to go, they have a lot of love in them, and they have a lot of kindness in them. A lot of people maybe drive by there and think Brothers Keeper is just a place to hang out, but it's not. Miss Edwards, she runs a tight ship there, and they have a board of directors, and there's rules they got to go by. And all the men that I know that are there, they go by the rules, and it's just a good place for them to go. And Jerry, and to the listeners, I'd like to say that Brothers Keeper, once you go there, it's not the end. It's the beginning. Brothers Keeper is a foundation. And from that foundation, when you're in there, they try to help you get on your feet. They give you guidance, and they try to find you work and a place to go.
And you've watched this firsthand for 20 years now.
Yes, I have. I've been going to Brothers Keeper now for 20 years, yes.
Well, Mike, we sure appreciate your efforts there, and I hope you could lead it by example, because you're doing things that I don't do, And probably most of our listeners don't do, and a lot of my readers don't do.
Thank God for people like you.
Yeah, so as Karen said, yeah, thank God for people like you. Mike, I appreciate you being
part
of the show.
Well, Jerry, just one thing I'd like to say.
What did I miss?
Before you let me go, and that's that there's a lot of people in the Gary area that need help, and especially at Thanksgiving and Christmas time. We don't need to go out of the Gary area to go to the Appalachian Mountains and other places, because there's plenty of people right in our area that need a lot of help.
Well said.
Mike McDonald. Mike.
Yeah, there you go.
Thank you so much, Mike. We appreciate being a part of the show and all you do for the community.
Thank you very much, and God bless you and your staff. You do a wonderful job.
Oh, look at that.
Thank you. All right. So nice again.
Thanks, Mike. Listen to Casual Fridays, folks. You're here at the gospel right here on Casual Fridays with Jerry, Dan, and Karen, of course, and a special guest in the studio with us is Sarah, the intern, who's going to pipe in. If you hear this voice from the corner, it's Sarah's voice.
Hear Sarah that? Dykstra.
Hello.
Sorry, Sarah Dykstra. Tell you what, let's take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to chat with Chris Kosovich from St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church in Maryville about its youth folklore dance group and how you can join in the fun. Stay tuned, folks.
A will is one of the simplest ways to make a gift to a charitable organization. By making a bequest to Lakeshore Public Radio in your will, you help to ensure our on-air service to Northwest Indiana for years to come. For more information on how to make a bequest to Lakeshore Public Radio, contact your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at 219-756-5656. Thank you for your ongoing support of Lakeshore Public Radio.
Consideration for Lakeshore Public Radio comes from Meals on Wheels, hosting their 17th annual Dining with the Chefs event on Sunday, March 5th at the Avalon Manor in Maryville, featuring 12 local chefs who prepare a multi-course culinary event and a silent auction in support of the Meals on Wheels mission. The event doors open at 11 a.m. Tickets available at mealsonwheels.com.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture, Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
You're listening to Casual Fridays with Jerry Davich and Karen Walker. Be here every Friday.
So, Karen, has the restraining order been off yet for Bill Curtis?
Well, it hasn't been lifted yet, but I'm patiently waiting.
Yeah, yeah. She's a big fan of Bill Curtis.
I'm a big
Look
fan.
Out, Bill Curtis.
And I did tell him that. You know, I gushed all over him.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
So, welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, and Dan. Our show on the Lakeshore is supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for matters most.
And if you miss any part of today's show, even a second of it, it's re-air at 7 o'clock tonight, and you can find it online, lakeshorepublicradio.org. All right, next up, there is, we've been to St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church for the Serb Fest.
Yes.
And for all the strudel I can eat,
mm-hmm.
and the tambourita music and
oh,
stuff like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So they're having a folklore dance group that's being aired on Lakeshore Public TV this very week, and I think today and Sunday. So
oh, my gosh.
I invited Chris Kosovich from the church to chat about us a little bit. Chris, welcome back to Casual Fridays.
Thanks so much, Jerry. I love the show and always appreciate you having us on to help share some information about what's happening over here at St. Sava.
Well, you know, us Croatians and Serbs have to stick together.
Absolutely.
It's a dying group. You know, I made a joke about this when we had Braća on, this tambourica band was in our studio.
Ever.
We had like five Serbs
five
and
guys
Croatian
with the
guys
big instruments in the studio.
I don't know how we fit them in. And I made a joke that back in the day when I was a kid, it mattered if you were Serbian or Croatian. Like, mm-hmm. oh, what are you, Croatian? I'm Serbian.
Right.
It's like serious business. These days, you don't have, you know, any card gets you in the club these days. I think it's not a big deal. Or is it, Chris?
It's really a
Does
great opportunity for all of us to just come together here and really celebrate the diversity we have here in Northwest Indiana. Well, whether you're Serbian, Croatian, Greek, whatever nationality you know you come from, it's just great that we have these institutions here in our community where we could go and have a flavor of this and get to know people and really celebrate.
I like the flavor of this. And every time I think that like my culture, my heritage is kind of dying or fading away, then I talk with you or like St. Sava, and I realize it's really not. People are still. The folklore is still there. The legend is still there. Tambourica music is still there. People still care about this. The torch is being passed.
It is, and that's really what's exciting to see tonight on the Lakeshore Public Television show, Eye on the Arts. That's going to be airing tonight at 7 o'clock p.m. on Channel 56. Is you're going to be able to see in action these young people carrying that tradition from what they've learning here today with choreographer helping them to learn the dances and getting a sense of that music and being able to share that with one another is just youth having fun and celebrating their heritage together.
And dances that go back, I'm guessing, centuries, huh, Chris?
Yeah, a long time. And really, a lot of these dances originate from different areas of Serbia. Different geographic regions have different music and different costumes. And we're fortunate to have all of our youth just recently had brand new costumes that they've been able to debut, and you'll see some of those in the show tonight.
And
on Sunday morning when it re-airs.
Right, it re-airs on Sunday morning on Lakeshore Public Television. And thank God that a lot of these kids are not like I was as a kid, because, I mean, my dad would go, hey, let's go do Tamburitsa music. Tamburitsa music? No, I want to play baseball, you know?
There'll be food, Jerry.
Oh, okay, I'll be there. Yeah, they'll have strudel and lamb.
How old are these students that are dancing?
Oh, we've got young kids in elementary school all the way up through high school and a few that are college age.
Wow, that is great, that getting them involved.
It is
yeah,
amazing,
we've got a high school or the big group. We have a middle group and even the peewee, the real young group, all dancing some dance steps that are age appropriate that they could fit, you know, and remember, and the complexity grows as they get older.
Sure.
So I'm wondering, Chris, do the kids also speak the language, the old language?
You know, some of them do, but some of them don't. Mm-hmm. And that's really what is unique about this opportunity for them to engage in this folklore dancing, is it exposes them to that language. And in some sense, while they may not understand every single word that's being talked about, they could get to know some of that story behind it by talking with youth that do speak the language, or Milos, the instructor, can help them understand that and help carry that along. We also have Serbian language class here every Thursday night that's open to the community.
Well, there you go, Jerry. You can go to that.
Yeah. If you or anybody, youth, want to pick up that language, we've got opportunity every Thursday evening to come here and learn.
I'm currently learning Pig Latin as a second language right now. But after I master that, I will move on to Serbian, Croatian.
Well, we're going to save a seat here for you, for sure.
Thank you, Chris.
Tetsi will be very happy.
When I was a kid, Chris, all I could speak in Croatian or Serbian was cuss words and curse words. That's a start. And to this day, I could still cuss somebody out in Croatian quite well.
You've got a foundation there, and now we're going to help you get some more of that language.
I went to the Serb Fest at your church a couple of years ago with Karen, I happened to ask one of the old guys what this thing meant, because I didn't even know what I was saying. And he told me what it meant, and I was ashamed for saying it out loud to anybody ever.
And then your Grandma Davich said it, right?
Yeah, my Grandma Davich said that word. Yeah, she did.
Sweetest old lady.
Yeah, when she was mad, she would use that. So either
way. If you can't join us here on these Thursday nights to learn Serbian, you're welcome to come back with us again, Serb Fest, August 4th, 5th, and 6th.
Yeah,
and you'll be able to ask some more questions.
We'll be there for the stuffed cabbage.
What does this word mean?
The cursing fun. So Chris, I really am impressed that the youth is picking up the culture, not letting it fade away. Because it's so easy in America, the homogenized, that we just forget about things and we do the mainstream thing and we use this big white fat paintbrush, especially these days in the political climate that we have. You know, so it's nice to see the culture is being taken care of by you guys.
It is, and it's really exciting here. What we have something new going on is, you know, this dance is not just for the people in the costumes and just for the young people, but we actually invite members of the community every Monday to come in, and we have open folklore dance sessions for the adults. Mm. So it's kind of if you've ever been to a Serb Fest and you see them dancing that kolo, that circle dance,
right.
Mm-hmm. You know that it's quite a workout. So a lot of people could come here with their athletic shoes on and their workout clothes, and they get a good cardio workout doing the solo dance.
It's like an ethnic workout tape.
Yeah, every Monday, 7 o'clock here in our South Hall or in the pavilion, whichever one's available and open. We've got a couple of hours where people just come here and they just practice dance moves, and you don't have to be Serbian, you don't have to come from any specific ethnicity. Come here, learn. They're happy to teach you, and you'll be ready. So when Serb Fest rolls around in the summer, you'll be able to dance out there all night till midnight.
You'll know all the great dances.
You know all the moves by then. That's wonderful, Chris. It's always a pleasure talking with you, and I like that. I have no idea how old you are, but you sound just so young and just full of life, and you really enjoy your heritage.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. You know what? You were talking about being a youth and really not engaging in this part, and me, I just turned 40.
I never engaged in the dancing when
I was young and kind of missed out on that connection with heritage, but it's exciting now to be able to see the youth being able to help articulate that message and encourage people to come join us on Monday nights to dance and experience that Serbian culture. Or even this Tuesday, we have a special presentation. Our choreographer is going to be showing costumes that he's hand-sewn. Wow. And talk about some of these costumes that he makes and the regions where they're from. And it's kind of an exhibition from an art perspective, so you could see some of his works and learn a little bit more of that cultural side of the dance. So watch it on TV tonight on Sunday morning. Come dance with us on Monday, and then join us Tuesday evening for a presentation to learn a little bit more of the culture from the art perspective. And
we
what
got
the costumes
a lot going
mean.
On.
Yeah.
You
got you all set up on Casual Fridays here. You can take part of all this. Chris, thanks so much for being part of the show again.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We really appreciate it. And we're going to have the fish fry tonight, 4 to 8. So stop over. We'll be watching the show on the big screens in the pavilion.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Chris.
Great. Okay, thanks, Chris.
All right, thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right. That, of course, bye-bye. Is St. Sava Serbian Orthodox Church right here in Maryville, Mississippi. You can't miss it.
It's a great, big, beautiful church.
It's got a fish fry.
The
Who doesn't
Serbian
like fish
churches
fry?
Are always like really nice fries. Looking.
What's that?
They're always big and just
they
very
are.
Nice.
Beautiful majestic. Architecture. Yeah, yeah mm-hmm. You're right. All right, folks, listen to Casual Fridays with Jerry, Karen, Dan, and intern Sarah here also joining us today. Let's segue a little bit, if we can, Dan. I've wanted to talk with you now the last 2 to 3 weeks at least. You and your wonderful fiance Nora mm-hmm. visited New York City recently, and you were compelled to also visit the same museum we went to, the 9/11
yeah.
Museum. Was that part of your plan?
That was. I remember we were talking about your guys' experience on the show a while back, and we were planning a trip to New York, and I thought it would be it sounded like something you know that you need to see.
You do. You can't go there, and you should not see. And we went
right.
there. It was kind of not a whim, but we weren't really planning on it until we got there and you felt the vibe.
Yeah,
and
true.
You had to go in when you feel the vibe.
Right when you get out, you know, the museum's underground on top, there are those fountains mm-hmm. where emulating the two towers, just very powerful moving memorial up there.
Right.
But then when you travel down, it's just such a powerful exhibit.
It is.
Really
good powerful.
Word, powerful. Yeah.
It's very quiet.
It's very quiet, mm-hmm. and people, it's very still. Like, I
yes.
had this feeling of just almost calm, but then you get into what they call the heart of the museum, and mm-hmm. it's there are a bunch of artifacts, different parts of ambulances, fire trucks that were smashed, parts of the plane that went into the second tower, I think, or the first. Just a very moving, deep exhibit. And actually was my favorite part of my trip to New York, just because it really brought you back to that day. And for, like, I was in eighth grade when that happened.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I was watching it at 10 o'clock in my, I think at that, it was my second period social studies class.
You remember that too?
Yeah.
My dad?
Oh, yeah. Wow. I remember exactly. And then I remember going home and just going right to the TV. And I never really paid attention to news that much until that day.
Sure.
That's actually why I got into journalism. It was really that day sparked. I kind of just got interested in what's going on in the world after mm-hmm. after that happened. But anyway, back to the museum. We walked through it. I went with my girlfriend Nora and
did I say fiance on the air?
Yeah.
Whoopsie.
Jeez, Jerry.
I'm pushing.
But,
oh,
yeah,
no.
He's always pushing, but that's
awkward.
But we went. We walked through, and we actually got in there, and it was just so intense that we ended up. You know, there's so much to look at and see in so many different rooms. We got separated, and we were in there for like 3 hours.
Whoa.
And then met up like at the end, and it's just a really emotional experience and something that I think, you know, younger kids who weren't alive when 9/11 happened and, you know, are coming to this world now mm-hmm. and are, you know, see the way things are now, the terrorism and everything's
right.
kind of, everything's heightened nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a very important exhibit to go to understand why things are the way
yes.
they are now. And
that
exhibit spells it out to me mm-hmm. perfectly.
Yeah.
And it might sound odd, but you could make a trek to New York City. It's like a 12-hour drive or so, I believe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Specifically for that. That could be your reason, your
mm-hmm.
destination for going. Then you can see other things while you're there, of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was that moving.
I've
that
never been to any museum that was more powerful than that.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Very well said. Remember in the heart, they had mm-hmm. those photos of the people that were trapped in the tower.
Yeah.
And the photos there of them jumping out.
Yeah, that was in a very heavy room.
It's haunting, isn't it?
Yeah, and it is haunting.
Yeah,
and
like, what would you do? I was thinking of that when I was watching.
Yeah, what would you
do? They were perched on those ledges, and what would you do? Do you stay in the fireball behind you?
You're basically, they knew at that point, it's like, we can either stay in here and get burned alive, or we can, you know, jump.
Take our life.
Yeah, and it's, I've never been to a museum, too, where each of the room, there's just a box of tissues for, you know, when you're going to cry. And you will. I mean, it's that moving. And it's.
I think I did. I knew there was a woman in there next to me looking at the photos that was upset. And another thing in that room, do you remember they had the actual dispatch of the day? The operators calling out the fire engines.
Over and over
each station, you know, to go to Twin Towers, and it's just moving. And
it is. And what also struck me with was when you walk through it, I mean, they take you through minute by minute what happened. Like, you, when you start at the beginning,
you don't miss a thing.
Yeah, it's like it's like the newscast. It's like, it's a beautiful day, sunny, and you know, 9 a.m. Matt Lauer's there. And then you get a little further, and all of a sudden there's a you know, I guess Today's Show is Matt Lauer. He's on Today's Show. Yeah, and they it's like, oh, we have breaking news, some kind of fire at the Trade Center. There's confusion, and it literally walks you through every moment of the entire day. Mm-hmm. Then you get through, and the day's done, and then it goes – it takes you back to how the radical Islam kind of started in the formation and where all that hatred and anger came from.
Mm-hmm. It educates you.
It does. It really takes you back. And then it takes you to, like, modern day and how 9/11 is mentioned. There's some kind of computer that generates every time 9/11 is mentioned, even today.
And it pops up. Yeah.
Pops up.
Wow.
Out.
Mm-hmm.
So the reason we bring this back on Casual Friday is Karen and I visited New York City last summer, and we came back talking about it. Dan visited, and once you go, you want to.
That was something that compelling. I never would have thought to do.
Right.
Yeah,
there.
Like,
I would go to, like, it's something I've always wanted to see, but it was never on, like, oh, yeah, I really want to see that. But that was after
it
we had.
Be.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why we have it on our show, because it should be on something that every person should do.
That's why
we talk about it on Casual Fridays. It's that powerful. It's that movie. You should make it part of your agenda.
It's definitely going on my bucket list now.
There you go, Sarah.
Sarah,
yeah,
you,
right. Yeah, you
got to
see
it's
that.
It's an emotional roller coaster, but it's well worth it. And it helps you really understand what that day meant for our future, really, here in the
our
America
country,
and the world.
Our people, our ideals.
Yeah. And also it gives a really good appreciation of the victims
and
what they went through that day.
And the families.
And the families.
Perfect
way
to say it, Dan. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad we revisited that again finally. Thanks for your patience, by the way.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You listen to Casual Fridays, Jerry, Karen, Dan. Our special guest is Sarah. We'll call Sarah the intern. That sounds so cheesy, but we'll say Sarah instead. Sorry, let's say Sarah instead. Tell you what, let's take a short break here. When we come back, we're going to touch on my column today in the Post-Tribune. It's about our favorite TV show called This Is Us and how it offers us a shelter from the storms of the political climate these days in America, of course. And also, as promised, I will read a short excerpt from my new book, Crooked Politics, Northwest Indiana. It's an exclusive for Lakeshore listeners. Stay tuned, folks.
Consideration for Lakeshore Public Radio comes from Meals on Wheels, hosting their 17th annual Dining with the Chefs event on Sunday, March 5th at the Avalon Manor in Merrillville, featuring 12 local chefs who prepare a multi-course culinary event and a silent auction in support of the Meals on Wheels mission. The event doors open at 11 a.m. Tickets available at mealsonwheels.com.
A will is one of the simplest ways to make a gift to a charitable organization. By making a bequest to Lakeshore Public Radio in your will, you help to ensure our on-air service to Northwest Indiana for years to come. For more information on how to make a bequest to Lakeshore Public Radio, contact your financial advisor or call Wendy Burbridge at 219-756-5656. Thank you for your ongoing support of Lakeshore Public Radio.
Everyone has a voice, but some voices aren't heard. Let's start the conversation. Politics, education, culture, Counterpoint. We'll bring you voices from all over the region on Counterpoint with Gerard McClendon.
Friday night at 8 on Lakeshore Public Television.
Hi, this is Michael Essany. You're listening to Casual Fridays with my favorite local radio personalities and my good friends, Jerry Walker and Karen Davich, on the Lakeshore.
Funny man, that Michael Essany.
He's
Essany.
A funny guy.
Okay, Karen Davich, you go ahead.
Sure. Welcome to Casual Fridays with Jerry Walker and Karen Davich and Dan Clark. Our show on the Lakeshore are supported by Ken West, American Family Insurance Agency in Hobart and Gary, providing coverage for what matters most.
And if you missed any part of today's show, it's re-aired 7 o'clock. And you can find online, like all of our shows, lakeshorepublicradio.org. We always forget. It used to be public media. That's the joke here.
Yeah.
So that's why we say it like that, in case you're wondering, why is Karen always piping up radio? Does she have Tourette's or something? What's wrong with her?
We're changing it next week, guys.
We
so
are?
Don't get used to it. No, we're not.
Like, so never
what?
Mind. So my column today in the Post Tribune is involving a show that Karen and I got addicted to when it first aired, called This Is Us. Mm-hmm. And I posted about it on social media several times since then, and it has a huge following across the country and across this region. People love the show. And when
it was instant. It was an instant hit.
It was. And when the promos first came out, I told Karen we should at least record this, and if we don't like it, we'll give it a viewing, and then we'll delete it. Mm-hmm. I do that with a lot of shows. You get either get the vibe for it you want or not, and this one just grabbed us from the get-go. It involves three siblings, one of them adopted, who were born on the same day, and their lives and their parents' lives and now their kids' lives, and just and how we're all kind of interconnected. And that's what it's about. It's a drama. It has some lighthearted moments. But what I took from this show is that it kind of it allows us a reprieve from all the political climate we're always talking about. Like, how often in society, when you're in a grocery store line or talking with somebody, or especially on social media, and politics comes up all the time, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it brings things down, like, really fast.
Yes.
So this allows us, as good entertainment would do, it allows us a reprieve from that storm, a shelter from the storm. It gives you an hour to focus on who we are and the bigger picture of who we are as humans, not just sometimes as animals, as we act like with the political climate. You know, we're very animalistic at that way. And so that's what the show offers us, and that's what it gives me. When Karen and I watch it, it's one of those shows that like used to be for Mad Men for us. Like, shut up. Turn off everything. I'm not getting the phone calls.
Don't sneeze.
Don't rustle the popcorn bag or whatever it might be. Just focus. You want to focus on every word, every dialogue, because it matters that much. And it really kind of touches us. And I wonder why it touches us. And I think it's because of the universal attributes it offers us.
Yes.
It reminds us who we are as people, and it transcends a lot of the petty things that seem to bug us down on a daily basis, especially these days of politics. So same with you, Karen. I mean, why do you like it as much?
I think there's a lot of in each of these characters, somehow we relate to them or what they're going through. Like, there's the episode where Randall and he's the, I guess, the adopted sibling, and, and he's a very high-powered executive. I don't even know what they kind of joke, like, we don't even know what you do.
Weather-related data.
Weather-related
data. That's all we know.
Very vague.
Whatever that
means. Yeah, but he's high-powered. He has this huge position, but then he has this nervous breakdown because everything is kind of going around him, and then they flash back to when he was a kid and when he was a teenager, and he had the same breakdowns over homework. And I related to that because my son goes through that. Mm-hmm. My son has these stress meltdowns over homework.
My sister is that way too.
Yeah. And it's like there was the scene where his dad holds him by the head and just breathe. Look at me and breathe. And so Randall carries that into adulthood and helps his dad. And it's really, there's just things that are relatable, and
those are always the best shows when you can relate to the characters or feel what they're feeling. Those are shows that always seem to launch and have a pretty successful following.
As I wrote in my column today, their lives and struggles are refreshingly normal, though dramatized for entertainment purposes. There are no high-speed chases. There's no intense police interviews. There's no courtroom debates. There's no dead bodies or science fiction phenomena. None of that typical action-packed, eye-grabbing escapism we see on so many other TV shows. Instead, similar to most of our lives, the show explores rather ordinary human dramas, the grind of relationships, ethical moments that challenge us, the daily decisions that define who we are as a person and ultimately as a people. So by doing this, it kind of reminds us that in a broader way of who we are and what we want and what we value. So that's what the show means. If you're not a fan of it, and Dan, you've never watched the show, I know that. But I'm hoping we're piquing your curiosity.
You definitely are. Yeah. You guys are turning me on to all the 9/11 museum. And
now you got to watch this show.
This Is Us.
It's worth your time.
It's a real show with real people that relate to us, which is, I think, why it grabs so many people and holds them to the attention of the show.
It does. Sounds great to me.
And you want to watch it every week. So, and also it gives you a nice reprieve from our daily lives of not only our regular lives and what's going on, but also the political climate that really kind of, I think, drags us down as a people, especially the last few months. We're kind of ashamed of ourselves, the way we talk and act, I think, anyway. At least we should be. So that's what I wrote. You could check it out on my, it's on my Facebook page. It's on my Chicago Tribune webpage. It's in today's Post Tribune print version also. Also, we're going to segue a little bit to, I did promise the last few weeks that we will talk a bit about my new book, our new book, actually, because Karen researched the hell out of it and really was a big part of it. She even coined the idea of to write it, actually. It's called Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana. And after my book, Lost Gary, Indiana, was published, the publisher, Arcadia Publishing and History Press, said, Jerry, why don't you write another book for us? And I said, okay. And they said, what do you want to write about?
Didn't they give you an idea, like, well, why don't you write about
Lost Crown Point. Or
like the farmland of Northwest. Yeah. Something really dry.
And I'm going, yikes. No, thank you. So I didn't have an idea in mind. I really didn't. And then Karen said, what? How about the political corruption that takes place in our region for the last century? And it's everywhere. And it happens all the time.
Yeah.
And we could do a little history about it and ask why it's still here and why it hasn't gone away. And some of the players' names that we've known so well in this region, and then and then it's always topical, and it's still topical because there's
You guys are gonna have that's gonna be your next job, I think. You'll just be writing these every year, and you'll be able to fill
volume
books.
book after book
of public corruption in the region. So we know there's a couple of public officials now who have been indicted, and their trials come up next month, I believe. So it's not something that's in the dusty history of Northwest Indiana. It's here, and it's always kind of here. So I also cordially invite listeners to my first public presentation for the new book. It's going to take place at the Hobart Public Library this Monday, 6 o'clock. The program will include like a question and answer period, a brief PowerPoint presentation I put together, just a lot of photos in the book. And also on hand will be myself, Karen, Gus Flores. He's the former East Chicago police chief who wrote the books Forward. He will be there also to explain any details. If anything has took place in the last 50 years or so, Gus knows about it. And he's from East Chicago, so that's like ground zero for political corruption. So he knows it for sure. And also Joey, our photographer, Joey Laxalinas, the photographer who shot a lot of the photos in the book, will be there also. So we're inviting you to also show up if you'd like, and you could learn more about the book. And I also, as I promised, I will read a short excerpt. I think I can just read the introduction for the book. It's really, it's pretty short, and it gives you a good idea of what the book is about, and I hope it piques your curiosity, because I think this is an issue that we all know about and all care about or we're all upset about. All right, the introduction for Crooked Politics in Northwest Indiana. Oh, with music. Steel mill barons and other entrepreneurs converged at the southern tip of Lake Michigan for good reason at the turn of the 20th century. It seemed an ideal location to build factories along the lakeshore to house workers in nearby town, to produce endless tons of steel, and of course, to make a tidy profit for stockholders. Plus, it was the perfect location in proximity to Chicago for its big city perks, while avoiding the Windy City's blowhard politics. The plan worked to perfection, except for the last part. Chicago's infamous reputation for shady elected officials and rampant public corruption and rough-and-tumble politics soon seeped over the state line into, appropriately named, East Chicago, Indiana. The two cities shared not only a name but also an identity that stretched from Illinois into Indiana like a pickpocket's hand into an innocent bystander's purse. In no time, public corruption became a familiar buzz phrase in East Chicago, as well as in other Lake County cities such as Gary and Hammond. The hard-scrabble urbanized area in the northern part of the county created a kind of Bermuda Triangle for crooked politics. Unfortunately, an ungodly amount of taxpayer dollars disappeared here over those several decades. It was never recovered, by the way. Elected office holders and public servants who were sworn to serve and protect and uphold our laws, well, they instead conducted backroom deals with street thugs and white-collar criminals and deep-pocketed businessmen. Some of these elected officials got caught. Others slipped through the cracks of the U.S. justice system. At least one high-profile former mayor escaped conviction and jail time, but his legacy has been imprisoned in shame ever since he left office. Some historians believe the true beginning of public corruption in Lake County took place with John Dillinger, the infamous Depression-era gangster, and his notorious escape from Lake County Jail in Crown Point. His chummy relationship with certain law enforcement officials in 1934 was captured in a now-iconic photo of the grinning Dillinger arm-in-arm with Lake County prosecuting attorney Robert Estill. Other historians go back even further to Chicago mobster Al Capone and his gang, which had a heavy influence in this region's crooked politics. Still, other observers trace our region's corruption to its earliest agricultural days before big industry even became its cash cow. Crooked politics in Northwest Indiana traces our region's deep history with public corruption, while fast-forwarding to modern-day convictions. By doing so, the book is similar to my previous book, Lost Gary, Indiana, bridging our past to our present while kind of offering a peek at our future. As I write these words, former Lake Station Mayor Keith Soderquist still awaits sentencing for his public corruption conviction, which is outlined in a subsequent chapter in this book. Will Keith Soderquist's conviction and sentencing serve as a warning to other elected officials currently in the office who may be involved in similar crimes in this very moment? Nah, probably not, as history has taught us. Greed, ego, and arrogance often trump doing the right thing when no one is watching, which is the very definition of ethics, by the way. Why do some of these office holders gamble with such high stakes, knowing full well they could be caught with their hands in the public's kitty? This intriguing issue also is examined in this book from several different perspectives, not only from a jaded newspaper columnist, like me, who has learned to trust no one, especially politicians. This book's sources include county officials, former police chiefs, local historians, defense attorneys, political consultants, research librarians, political science professors, veteran journalists, and even current elected officials. Together, they weave a tapestry of insights, anecdotes, and possible explanations as to why this region, and especially Lake County, has been poisoned by this scourge of crime. Other invited sources make a solid case in defense for this region's elected office holders, citing a reputation that has been overhyped and pretty much unfairly exaggerated, they claim. Some of the public servants who have been convicted of criminal acts didn't deserve to be dragged through the mud of their predecessors' dirty deeds, according to their supporters. They have been pinched by the feds for relatively minor offenses, compared to other white-collar criminals anyway. However, in recent years, several indictments have been issued by this area's U.S. District Attorney, followed by very splashy newspaper headlines, laborious court hearings, and eventual jail time for public servants who insist, they always insist, they've done nothing wrong. Until, that is, they later admit their guilt in an attempt to reduce their looming prison time. Happens time and again. Some of these corrupt politicians, or Pauls, another glossary term in the book, they have hidden behind the Bible after being charged. Others have claimed they were wrongly marginalized in this region, so they did what they had to do to climb the ladder of success. Many of them obviously knew they were committing serious crimes, yet after being apprehended by authorities, they defended their actions through delusion or became intoxicated by bottomless rationalizations we see time and again. Many of these old-world Europeans, including my own ancestors, who immigrated to this region during the early part of last century, they felt that anything was negotiable in life. Anything was negotiable. This bargain basement attitude oozed into their workplace under the wink and nod rule, you do something for me, I do something for you. Because everything seemed to be negotiable in life. This evolved into negotiating for city jobs, work in the political world. Back in the day, these old school politicians, they may not have readily understood the word nepotism, but they clearly lived by it and they flourished through it. This included my own grandfather, George Davich, a Gary official whose infamous reputation of accepting bribes, kickbacks, and dirty money kind of tarnished our family's name. It also brought him power, albeit briefly, which is the true aphrodisiac for most of these office holders who turn corrupt. They simply, and they stupidly, can't say no to their lust for power, regardless of its price. That's the introduction for crooked politics in Northwest Indiana, and it's so true. All these politicians, they can't resist. That is the key here.
They can't resist. And they think they're not going to get caught. That's the thing.
And it's surprising because a lot of times they do, and like you said, they deny it. But what about all the ones that haven't gotten caught yet? Because you know there's more people out there that,
as we speak, right?
Yeah, it's continuously a problem.
I don't know, man, the feds have a way of finding out.
They do.
And once the feds indict you, it's pretty much
99%.
You're done. Mm-hmm. Exactly right. So we'll find out. So that's kind of what the book is about. It just got released. I actually just received my first shipment this week.
Woo-hoo.
And the people who already bought copies, I'm signing them as we speak today and tomorrow.
Yep.
Karen and I are going to hand deliver some of these copies because I feel bad that he had to wait longer. And other ones we mailed
out.
With
a warm plate of brownies.
Oh, wow. Really?
No.
Just
you had a question, Dan?
Oh, not a question. Just a comment. Your reading of the introduction was wonderful. And you finished exactly when the song finished. So that's,
no way.
Yeah.
I've been practicing all week.
I know.
We're going to have to go back to listen to LakeshorePublicRadio.org.
To hear that again.
Yeah. It'll be re-aired 7 o'clock tonight if you want to hear it again. And also you can find, of course, on our website, lakeshorepublicradio.org. We're coming up to the end of our hour on Casual Fridays.
It's the best hour.
We appreciate your patience for waiting to listen to the excerpt of the book. I hope you have interest in it. If you do, feel free to contact me on Facebook or any other way. I'm very accessible in the
region.
We also want to thank again the people who do such good work at the Brothers Keeper Shelter, the Homeless Shelter for Men, and all the shelters. And they need help. And if you guys can help in any form or fashion, you guys being our Casual Fridays listeners, they would love that. Mm-hmm. We want to thank Mary Edwards, the director, Levi, who's a client, and yes. now he lives there and he helps there, and Mike McDonald, who right. just seems like the guy who I would aspire to be in life.
Yeah, yeah.
exactly.
You know what I'm
Very
saying?
Very generous man.
Yeah, he said he started this in his 50s, and I'm in my 50s, so maybe I can start being more like Mike. Mm-hmm. The right Mike.
Yeah. Everyone needs to be a little bit more like Mike.
Yeah,
I think.
More like Mike, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Chris from St. Sava's.
Yeah, have good bringing the cultures back.
Yes.
And keeping, mm-hmm. keeping the flame flickering, even though we don't do a very good job of that.
No, we don't.
That's it. We're at the end of the hour. We appreciate you tuning in. We want to have a wonderful weekend. Stay warm out there and also have
a casual Friday.
A casual Friday, folks. All right, we'll let you go. Take care.